There's this quote that I love. It goes a little something like this. "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you." And these are the words of St. Augustine, one of the most influential figures in Christian history. He lived almost 1,600 years ago in the past, but his statement really got it. You know, as I read through the statement, it's a statement I've heard several times in the past, but especially as I just reflected on it over the past month, I just realized that, man, this guy really got it. 1,600 years ago, he knew what he was talking about, and it's still relevant to us today. "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they find rest in you." You know, we're all seeking after happiness and rest in our lives. I don't think there's any disputing that. We want different things. We want career success. You know, we want fulfilling family relationships. We want good church dynamics. We want all these things. And yet, in our lives, as we accomplish the goals that we set before us, you know, one by one, we still have this longing deep within the pit of our hearts, don't we? There's this insatiable desire for something more that is continuing to drive our hearts into restlessness at every turn. I think the teacher in Ecclesiastes 2 expresses it really well. If you want to follow along, it's Ecclesiastes 2, verses 4 onwards. And it reads this. "I made great works. I built houses and planted vineyards for myself. I made myself gardens and parks and planted in them all kinds of fruit trees. I made myself pools from which to water the forest of growing trees. I bought male and female slaves and had slaves who were born in my house. I had also great possessions of herds and flocks, more than any who had been before me in Jerusalem. I also gathered for myself silver and gold and the treasures of kings and provinces. I got singers, both men and women, and many concubines, the delight of the sons of man." Verse 9 reads, "So I became great and surpassed all who were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me, and whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I kept my heart from no pleasure, for my heart found pleasure in all my toil. And this was my reward for all my toil. Then I considered all that my hands had done and the toil I had expended in doing it. And behold, all was vanity and a striving after wind. And there was nothing to be gained under the sun." This is a man who perhaps accomplished more in his life than just about anyone in history. You know, and yet when all was said and done, the question of why his heart was still restless remained. You know, all was vanity, he says. It was just a striving after the wind. You know, in fact, a lot of the words that the teacher uses in this passage from Ecclesiastes mirrors the language that we heard earlier on when Charlene read for us from Genesis 2. It's also from Genesis 1, the language of God's creation. You know, words like planting, gardens, all kinds of fruit trees. He says that he was watering them, making them flourish. Even the word making, you know, creating. It's like the teacher in Ecclesiastes is trying to recreate this Garden of Eden on his own. And as he does these things, as he accomplishes these goals set before him, all this serves to prove is that no matter what goals we set in life, what achievements or great works we seek to accomplish, if they're not grounded in God, they're a vapor. You know, they're a mist that's here today and gone tomorrow. Even if we accomplish all things that we've seen God do, without him, we find that our hearts remain restless and we're constantly unfulfilled and feel as though we're striving after the wind. In other words, our hearts have to find their rest in God. Otherwise, they'll remain restless, regardless of whatever work we undertake to find satisfaction. Now, work is one of the central themes in Ecclesiastes. I've been reading over Ecclesiastes in preparation for this, and I find that work is one of the central themes that the teacher keeps coming back to, and it's the way that he tries to find meaning in his life. And how often do we do the same thing? You know, work is one of the central themes in our lives, you know, whether we're students, whether we're working, whether we're retired. You know, how often do we do this? Whether it's informal vocational work, household maintenance, or child rearing, It's all work. Now, even if our motivation for work is different from person to person sitting here today, the end goal seems to be fairly similar. See, this world is geared towards comfort. You know, as we continue to live in this world and as we continue to experience the culture that's set before us, we realize that we're seeking after comfort a lot of the time. And it's this constant pursuit of greater and greater comfort that drives us towards work every day. So we work so that we can rest. You know, we look for better ways to rest, and yet we remain restless. Think about our models for work and how we gear ourselves towards one big trip away a year. And then sometimes we return feeling rather rested. And sometimes we feel like, man, we need some more rest after that holiday. It's a cycle. It's this constant cycle. Even in our day-to-day, how often do you find yourself working? Looking to get through Monday and Tuesday so that we can be halfway through our week. And then we look forward to the weekend so we can spend a cheeky weekend away with some loved ones. Or, you know, the eventual goal is to make it to where some of us are here today. Retirement. You know, I myself, as a transplant from Sydney, I was really thrilled to hear that Victoria has the most public holidays of all the states in Australia. I thought, man, wonderful, I can get some rest. Yet, no weekends away, no holidays at the end of the year, not even retirement can ever sate this restlessness in our hearts. If we take the teacher's example from Ecclesiastes 2 to heart, we can see that nothing will truly satisfy apart from God. You know, consider your own lives. If you go to the furthest logical conclusion of every goal that we ever set ourselves in our lives, if we remove God from the equation, what do we end up with? Would we ever find satisfaction? Let's say that whatever goals you set, you know, you make more money than you ever know what to do with. You have a nice house, lots of comfy rooms, great marriage with lots of kids. You make it to retirement and you have a home by the seaside. What would it be that still causes us to hunger for more? Maybe if you consider the fragility of these things, that we find some measure of satisfaction in day to day. If any of these things, money, relationships, success, family, our homes, whatever, were removed from the occasion, would we still find that we're satisfied in the least? Or would we find our hearts to be restless once more? A chapter on from our text today, the teacher says in Ecclesiastes 3, he has put eternity into man's heart, yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. What does that mean? Well, C.S. Lewis expresses it this way. If I find in myself desires which nothing in this world can satisfy, the only logical explanation is that I was made for another world. See, the things of this world will ultimately never satisfy us. You know, no matter how many things we actually end up accomplishing in our lives, how much comfort we attain, whatever rest we find here on earth, there's a true rest that's just beyond us. Augustine, whose quote I shared at the beginning of this message, he himself struggled with seeking satisfaction for his restless heart for a time. I'll read to you from an article on Augustine. See, before Augustine left for Carthage to study for 3 years, his mother warned him earnestly, don't commit fornication, and above all, don't seduce any man's wife. But Augustine would later write in his Confessions, I went to Carthage, where I found myself in the midst of a hissing cauldron of lust. My real need was for you, my God, who are the food of my soul. I was not aware of this hunger. Augustine ended up taking a concubine in Carthage, lived with the same woman for about 15 years, even had a son by her. He worked within his own means to try and satisfy this void in his heart for something greater. He had this restlessness in his desire for satisfaction. But because his heart didn't find rest in God, it remained restless. Now, we can always find our rest and our contentment and satisfaction immediately, all year round, regardless of whatever activities we take part in, whatever work we might undertake, however much we toil. See, we currently toil away due to the curse that came with the disobedience in the garden, a chapter on from our reading earlier. Because we ate from the tree that God commanded us not to eat from, we eat of a curse, drawing food up from among thorns and thistles, eating bread by the sweat of our faces. I'll read to us again from Genesis 2, 4 to 15. See, before the fall, man was tasked with working the garden. And it reads this: "These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, when no bush of the field was yet in the land, and no small plant of the field had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain on the land. And there was no man to work the ground, and a mist was going up from the land, and was watering the whole face of the ground. Then the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature. And the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord made to spring up every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. A river flowed out of Eden to water the garden, and there it divided and became four rivers. The name of the first is the Pishon. It is the one that flowed around the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. And the gold of that land is good. Bdellium and onyx stone are there. The name of the second river is the Gihon. It is the one that flowed around the whole land of Cush. And the name of the third river is Tigris, which flows east of Assyria. And the fourth river is the Euphrates." Then verse 15, "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it." And you see, this is before the fall happens. See, work wasn't this punishment or this toil. It was done in the presence of God. See, there was no restlessness in the heart of man at this point. He didn't have any reason to pine after the weekend or think about retirement. He just enjoyed God's creation. Think about how wonderful that is. He enjoyed God's creation, working the garden, keeping it with no need to build one of his own. He didn't end the days thinking about how his vacation time was building up or what he could do to spend more quality time with his family. The curse that came a chapter later in Genesis made it so that we toil and struggle in order to eat and find rest. And that's where we find ourselves today. Yet still, even when the answer to the question of how to put our restlessness to bed is in front of us, we look to our own efforts, same as the man did in Genesis. The curse has been broken by Jesus Christ on the cross. He's taken all of our sins, every curse upon his broken body at Calvary, and we now have freedom to find rest in God. See, once we were doomed to wander the earth, looking to establish our own selves, build shelters, and provide food from the dust in order to survive. But through giving his son to death on our behalf, Jesus doing this work that we could never complete on our own, we now get the reward of his work. We enter into his rest. As Augustine makes clear, once our hearts find their rest in God, we have satisfaction. In fact, in abandoning his previous source of satisfaction and instead seeking God, he wrote this: "How sweet all at once it was for me to be rid of those fruitless joys which I had once feared to lose. You drove them from me, you who are true, the sovereign joy. You drove them from me and took their place, you who are sweeter than all pleasure, though not to flesh and blood. You who outshine all light, yet are hidden deeper than any secret in our hearts. You who surpass all honor, though not in the eyes of men who see all honor in themselves. O Lord, my God, my light, my wealth, and my salvation." Augustine found rest in God. His heart found rest in God, and he was finally able to have his restless heart set free. Now, Augustine's case was one of pursuing sin rather than the Lord. We can see that. And you could make the same argument for the teacher in Ecclesiastes, who sought after things for perhaps his own selfish gain and pleasure. He says that he did it for himself. And you might ask of your own desires, what's wrong with a little bit of ambition? Is there something inherently wrong with wanting comfort or working to improve my family life? But the way we go about these things are all the difference. That's what makes all the difference. See, whereas we might have relied on ourselves to accomplish these things in the past, this method left us cold and empty. But to seek the Lord first in all these things, to rely fully upon him, it seems to cost so much of us, our self-reliance, our inner desires. See, we have to acknowledge that we can't do it on our own due to our severe and fatal lack. And it costs everything of us. Our pride, our ambition, all these things. It costs everything. And yet it gives back so much greater of Him. See, in exchange for our self-reliance, we end up relying on the one, the only one, who can actually accomplish far greater than we ever asked for and actually provide us with genuine rest. The teacher in Ecclesiastes pictures this life lived to the fullest. And it concludes as a striving after the wind. Its vanity of vanities has quickly gone as a vapor. But a life lived fully in light of God means a life of undefeated, invincible, indomitable joy. See, we might end up losing our house, our income, even the ones that we love. And we can lose it all. But if we have Jesus, we have everything. No matter what toil you might face day to day, no matter the result of the work that we put our hands to, there's freedom for our restless hearts to find rest in God. We now have the freedom to return to the original garden paradise that God created in Genesis. We don't have to build our garden on our own. And we can try our best to build one for ourselves in our domestic dwellings or in our relationships with one another. But truly, there's no creator like our God. We struggle with thorns and thistles as we worked at the ground after the curse. But because of the finished work of Jesus, we now have this food readily available. Because our food is to do the will of Him who sent Jesus and to accomplish His work, as it says in the Gospel of John. Now imagine that with me. It's a life lived fulfilled no matter what, where we have freedom to pursue after great works for the sake of the glory of our Father in heaven. And yet we return home from work with the absolute satisfaction that only God can give, regardless of the result. See, in our retirements, we can actually look back on a life that's been lived out already, but also a current life that's filled with new mercies every day and an eternal life to come in His presence. I'd like to ask of you guys today, if you've yet to put your trust in God, you know, perhaps if you're hearing this for the first time or if you've been weighing up the cost and you've been uncertain about following Jesus, put your faith in God today. Trust in Him, what He has done for you. Commit to being a follower of Jesus Christ. If you are a believer, and yet you find yourself so restless, so tired as you've gone about working your hands to the bone, let go and allow God to take your yoke and take His, because His yoke is light and easy. He knows best what's in plan for you. And let the result of your labors and even the motivation for your work be consumed by this desire to glorify the name of Jesus. Wherever you're at this morning, place full confidence in the Lord who has rest for you. His rest is the only one that will truly restore our souls. If you'd like to bow your heads with me in prayer.